welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, drama. Later on, the Columbia Workshop. But first, it's Kathy and Elliot Lewis's program, On Stage. Real-life husband and wife star in a play called An Ideal Couple on CBS from June 18, 1953.
Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Kathy Lewis, Elliot Lewis, two of the most distinguished names in radio, appearing each week in their own theater, starring in a repertory of transcribed stories of their own and your choosing. Radio's foremost players in radio's foremost play. Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot Lewis.
Good evening. May I present my wife, Kathy?
Good evening.
We're privileged tonight to introduce to you a new author. The young man is better known as an actor and announcer, but as you will soon hear, he also can write more than his name.
May we present Tom Dixon?
Good evening.
The play is called An Ideal Couple. And since Tom wrote it and also has the other gifts Elliot mentioned, he will play the radio announcer in the story.
So, Tom, Kathy, here we go with An Ideal Couple.
Mrs. Johnson, I'll bet you say that to all the boys.
I don't know all the boys.
Oh, you are the sweetest talking little lady we've met in a long, long time. Mr. Johnson, how do you ever hold your own being married to a woman with such a way with words?
It's all right.
All right, huh? Well, tell me, when is this gift of gab of hers most apparent?
Well, you know...
I'll bet it's twice as powerful when the little darling wants a new hat, huh?
At least twice.
Now let's get on with the more serious aspects of the situation. Mrs. Johnson, do you know why the Johnsons are on our program, happy, though married?
Oh, I think I do.
How about you, Mr. Johnson?
I'm afraid not.
You mean you don't know why you're here?
No, I don't.
Oh, do you have a surprise coming to you? Because the judges have decided that Mrs. Johnson's letter was the best received in this month's contest, which makes the Johnsons our ideal couple on Happy, Though Married. I told you I had a surprise for you, Mr. Johnson. How do you feel now?
Bewildered.
Bewildered, huh? How about you, Mrs. Johnson? How do you feel?
Just wonderful.
I'll bet you do. Well, before we tell you about those grand surprise gifts our sponsors have lined up for you, let's sketch in a bit of your married life to prove that you deserve to be our ideal couple. Now, to start with, Mrs. Johnson, how long have you been married?
25 years this month.
25 years. Now, that deserves a hand. Now, how long did you know each other before you became engaged?
Oh, we knew each other from the time we were children, but we didn't start going together until Stan finished college.
Now, how did your first date come about?
We really didn't have a first date. I went to a high school graduation party with another beau, and, well, you know how those things happen.
Oh, do I? Mr. Johnson looked pretty good to you, huh?
Well, yes.
Now, I want you to listen to the song Larry Robbins is going to play on the organ. Larry? You know what that song is?
No.
No.
That's one of the songs that was popular in those days when you two fine people first met. A song that we understand was played at that party Mrs. Johnson was just talking about. Mr. Johnson, did you come to the party alone?
As a matter of fact, I did. Gee, Howie, I'd forgotten how cozy these hometown parties were.
After the glamour of the university? Sounds a bit silly, Stan.
Well, nothing there was quite like this.
You mean no party at State had Leola Webb in attendance?
Oh. Is that obvious?
Obvious? Would a swat in the nose seem obvious? You've been staring at her all night.
She certainly has,
Bloom? That's the word you're searching for, my friend.
Why don't you ask her to dance?
I'd like to, but came with Benton, didn't she?
Don't let the great Jim Benton scare you off.
Viola's just a
passing fancy with that lad.
Why does he let her sit on the sidelines while he swaps jokes with the boys?
Maybe the jokes are safer.
What do you mean by that crack?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Besides, she's not sitting on the sidelines. She's heading this way. Bet she asked one of us to dance. I bet it's you.
Oh, you must be crazy.
Bet you butt.
Okay.
Hello, Stanley. When did you get back from the university?
Yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday.
Wonderful. Just wonderful to have you back. This is a lady's choice, Stanley. I thought, that isn't a kitty.
To dance?
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, would you care to?
Yeah, he'd be delighted.
Hello, Howard.
Good evening, Leola. Well, don't just stand there, old man. Get going.
Oh, yes. It was very nice of you, Leola, to invite me to dance with you.
Wasn't nice of me at all. I just wanted to dance with one of the handsomest men in the crowd.
Johnson, you owe me a dollar.
What do you owe that awful Howard Rhines $1 for?
Oh, nothing. That's just an old bet we had.
What do you see in Howard as a friend?
Oh, I don't know. We've been friends all our lives. What are you at?
Curious.
You're with Jim Benton tonight, aren't you?
I suppose you could call it that, yeah. You dance very well, sir.
Thank you. You dance beautifully. Just beautifully. I tell you, I think that Benton must be a bit silly in the head.
What do you mean, Stanley?
Passing up a chance to dance with you for a few... Spoke too soon. Here he comes.
Really?
Just my luck.
I wonder what got into Mr. Benton.
Well, what do you mean?
Oh, I mean, isn't that just like a man? Ignore a girl all night, and then just when she starts to have a little fun...
So she asked you to dance, huh? You accepted, of course.
As a matter of fact, I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I was too scared. A friend accepted for me.
Well, so much for your first romantic meeting. Now let's get to the proposals. And Mr. Johnson, don't tell me you let her do that, too.
No, I did that all right.
How was he, Mrs. Johnson? Romantic?
Oh, my, yes.
Do you think you were romantic, Mr. Johnson?
I guess you could call it that, yes.
And did you get down on your knees?
Oh, I went farther than that. I was flat on my stomach. That was the nicest picnic spread I've eaten in a long time.
I'm glad you liked it.
And the spot, the brook, the trees, wildflowers. I haven't felt this good in my whole life.
Why should you feel so extra special good today?
Oh, a lot of reasons. The food was good, the spot is lovely, the grass feels good against my belly. Excuse me, stomach. And the greatest reason, I guess, is because you're here.
Really, Sam?
I mean it. You're wonderful. Just too bad Mary and Bob couldn't come after accepting your invitation and everything.
Oh, you know, Bob and Mary, always changing plans at the last second.
Yeah. They do seem to be happily married, though.
I suppose so. Bob certainly isn't my idea of a good husband.
Oh? Who is?
Who's what?
Your idea of a good husband. Jim Benton?
Me? Marry Jim Benton? If Jim Benton were the last man alive, I'd be an old maid. Oh, I'd certainly like a nickel for every time Mr. Benton proposed to me.
I thought all the girls considered him such a whale of a catch.
Not this young lady.
What type of man would you, like to have for a husband?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody that's, considerate, steady, easy to get along with. Good looking, too, maybe.
Uh-huh. I see.
Why'd you ask, Stanley?
Well, Leola, I...
Yes, Stanley.
Leola, I don't qualify for looks much, but I am steady. I think I'm considerate, and people say I'm easy to get along with. We've been seeing each other pretty steady for almost a year now, ever since Jim Benton left town. And I honestly think you're the most wonderful girl I could ever hope to know. This might seem sudden to you, but I've thought about us an awful lot. And the more I think, the more I...
Go on, Stanley.
The more I think we could be happy together. I love you so very much. Please marry me.
Stanley, of course I'll marry you.
Well, how do you mean, Mr. Johnson? You were flat on your stomach.
We were on a picnic, and I was stretched out on my stomach in the grass.
And you accepted his proposal, Mrs. Johnson, even though he spoke it from that unromantic posture?
I certainly did.
And glad you did, too, I bet. Now about arguments. Did you have many disagreements in your 25 years of married life?
Oh, just a few. Little ones.
I see. Mr. Johnson, how did you settle your quarrels?
We compromised.
Compromised?
She saw things her way, and I saw things her way.
Dougie, darling, Mommy's right here to see your little man doesn't cry. There, no.
Leo, I think you picked Douglas up too much. Aren't you going to spoil him?
Spoil him? With love and affection? Spoil him, trying to make up for the things his father doesn't give him?
What things?
But you think it's right to raise a child in a one-bedroom, walk-up apartment?
Well, it may not be right, dear, but it's all we can afford. Lots of kids grow up strong and healthy in worse places than this.
Not my son. I'll not raise my son in this dirty, ugly little flat.
Well, it's not dirty and it's not ugly. Howard says he thinks you've done a wonderful job decorating his place.
Howard? What does he know about decorating?
Just thought you'd be pleased.
Oh, I'd be pleased if you'd stop spending so much of your time with Howard.
Why?
Well, he's not a good influence on you. He's lazy. He has no ambition.
Honey, please. In the first place, I don't spend all of my time with Howard. And besides, I'm not a child. I'm not liable to be influenced that easily. Now, please, let's just stop this. You're tired, and I don't blame you. But honestly, we're doing fine. Now, tell me the truth, aren't we?
Compared to Alice and Jim Benton, we're doing quite badly.
Jim Benton inherited a factory and $100,000. How can you compare us to Jim Benton? Be reasonable, dear.
Be reasonable? Why don't you start being reasonable? I don't worry about myself, Stanley, but we've got a son now. You have responsibilities. You can't afford to let yourself be pushed around. You can't afford to let yourself be talked out of a raise that you deserve. You've got a son.
Tell me what it is you want of me, Leola. I want to make you happy. I'll do everything in my power to make you happy. Just tell me what it is you want.
Those are big words.
I mean them. I swear it to you. I mean them.
You've got to stop sitting around, Stanley. You've got to progress. You're too easygoing for your own good.
You used to tell me you liked an easygoing man.
But you aren't going at all. You're at a standstill. You don't seem to have any ambition. You're so ridiculously content, and you haven't got anything.
I have a lovely wife and a fine son and a job and a place to live. What more do I need?
Do you think Jim Benton would be
Jim
content?
Jim Benton! You always come back to him. Benton was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a drunk, a boor, and a vicious snob, but you hold him up as a shining example of manhood. Why, I don't know. Sometimes I think you wish you'd married him.
He had only to ask me.
What?
You heard me.
I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
Does it really matter?
Dougie, no. Did that mean old daddy of yours slam the door and make my little baby boy cry?
Saw things her way and you saw things her way. Oh, that's pretty good, Mr. Johnson. It's just such a sense of humor about serious matters that made you and Mrs. Johnson this month's ideal couple on Happy Though Married. And now, in just a moment, we'll continue your story. But first...
You are listening to Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Tonight's play, An Ideal Couple.
And here we are back on Happy Though Married. So far, we've found that this month's ideal couple, Mr. and Mrs. Stanley Johnson, met at a party. She asked him for a dance. He proposed while lying on his stomach in the grass at a picnic that they face their little differences with humor and compromise. Now, just a few more questions, and we'll present them with a host of surprise gifts from our sponsor. Now, for instance, how about vacations? Did you spend them together or separately?
Well, the first few we spent separately, but we've spent them together ever since.
Why did you start out separately?
Well, I liked to fish, but Leola didn't.
I learned to like fishing.
How about that? She learned to like fishing?
Ah, that was one corking good meal, my friend.
So it was.
What's the matter, Stan? Anything new?
Why, yes.
Look, I've known you for 100 years. I can read your moods like a book. You've been gathering wool all through lunch. What's up?
Nothing.
Leola? Did you find out we're still having lunch together?
Yeah.
Look, Stan, don't let it get you down. We can just as easily skip these lunches. Don't be blue, boy. Oh, you're forgetting our annual 2-week quest for those beautiful mountain trout is only a month away.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Leola wants to go along.
Oh?
She said she hated to be away from me. She said she realized I needed a rest, but she thought it was selfish of me to go away alone when she doesn't get any time off with any of her friends. Well, with the boy and everything.
Uh-huh.
And what kind of surprised me was that, well, you know, she doesn't really like the great out of doors, as she calls it. And it's real sweet of her to want to go along with us when she doesn't really like it that much.
With you?
What?
Go along with you. She knows I won't go if she goes.
Why do you say that? That's not true. She said what a good time the three of us would have.
She didn't mean it. She wants you 52 weeks out of the year. She certainly doesn't want to give you up for 2 weeks to me and some fish. She's going to horn in on that, too. So she'll take everything that you have that's you and destroy
it. All right, Howie, that's enough.
True, you poor stupid jerk. Can't you see it's true?
I said that's enough. Now cut it out. You've no reason to talk about her like that. She's my wife. Cut it out.
All right. I'm sorry, Stan.
That's all right. Don't talk about it anymore.
No, really. You're quite right. I had no reason to speak that way. I'm sorry.
You talk as if I were unhappy. How I tell you, I'm not unhappy.
Okay, Stan, let's forget I mentioned it, huh?
Those fishing trips were fun, though.
That they were, my friend. That they were.
Maybe next year.
Oh, my, Mrs. Johnson, you killed me. Just like that, she says, I learned to like fishing. Oh, no wonder you're an ideal couple. Well, we're getting close to those payoff gifts from our sponsors. But first, let me ask you about your family. Did you raise any children?
Just one.
A boy or a girl?
A boy, Douglas.
And judging from the gleam in your eye, Mrs. Johnson, he's Mama's pet.
Oh, he's a wonderful boy.
Mr. Johnson, does Douglas favor you or his mother?
Well, there the boy was really lucky.
Why?
Well, he looks like me, and he acts like his mother.
After a thorough review of the case of the People versus Douglas Johnson, in which the defendant has been found guilty as accused, the court passes the following sentence. The theft of $250 represents a major crime. But in the opinion of the court, since this is the defendant's first offense and the money has been returned, society's demand for punishment in this case might only make a hardened criminal out of a sensitive, restless boy. Therefore, the court sentences you, Douglas Johnson, to 2 years in prison, sentence suspended. You are hereby placed in the custody of your parents for the duration of said sentence. Court dismissed.
Oh, Doug. Doug, my baby.
I'm glad you're free, son. I can't say that I'm happy about the whole thing, but maybe it's taught you a lesson.
Lesson, indeed. Doug would never have taken that $250 if you'd given him a little more spending money.
No boy of 18 needs
more
than what
I... I know. Then there's the line, when I was a boy, I only got $1 a week. Well, your folks were poor. We're not. You insist on raising Doug like he belonged to a family of paupers. I know my boy. He's not a common thief. If you'd only give him a decent allowance.
I can only say, Mr. Johnson, that if your son is as handsome as you and as charming as his mother, he must be quite a boy. Well, as our ideal couple, you've enjoyed a rich, full life together. Now, what about the future? Mrs. Johnson, what are your plans?
I think I'll start spending a little of that money we've worked so hard to save.
Stacking new hats every day, huh? How about you, Mr. Johnson? What are you going to do with the future?
Well, now that I'm 55, I think I finally acquired the wisdom to start living like a kid of 25.
Dan, for the 25 years we've been sneaking lunches in this back alley greasy spoon, I've always wound up by saying, that was a corking good meal. Or words to that general effect. Today I can't honestly say that.
Why not, Howie? I thought the steak was pretty good.
A meal is more than food, Stan. It's an occasion for comradeship, conviviality, and general good cheer. And you, my lifelong crony, have been anything but the ideal companion for such an event.
I'm sorry.
There you sit, a retired businessman. You've achieved a goal that few men ever reach. You should be bursting with pride and happiness.
I know. I just seem to have lost interest in things.
Lost interest in things? Dan, my boy, you've lost more than that. You've lost your life. They've squashed you down to the size of a worm.
Who?
Don't be evasive. Your wife, Leola. Your son, Doug, that's who. Between the two of them, they've knocked the stuffings out of a wonderful guy and left you. Whatever it is that you've become.
Shut up, Howie.
Okay.
No. Don't shut up. You're right. I'm sorry. But it stings to hear someone put into words the secret thoughts with which you've lived intimately for years. I'm 55. I have money, position, a wife, and a son. And I'm terribly unhappy because none of it gives me pleasure.
Dan, you're only 55, and why don't you do something about it?
What can I do to change it now?
You've even lost the power to hope. How does a man get that way? What makes you play act at being the ideal husband for so long? You haven't loved Leola for years, have you? Have you?
No. Not for years.
All right, then why do you stick?
I don't know. First it was Doug, I guess. Then it was a sense of duty. Lately, habit.
Habits can be broken, you know.
How?
Well, to start with, why don't you join me in my life's big moment? That world cruise I was telling you about. You've gone for one whole big, beautiful year. Love to have you along. I leave next Friday night.
I couldn't.
Stan, do I have to start painting the dreary picture of your future if you don't make the break?
No, no. I'm fully aware of those horrors. A trip around the world. It'll be fun, all right.
Could make up for all those fishing trips we never had.
When are you leaving?
Next Friday night.
All right, I'll go.
Good. That's just fine, Stan.
I promised Leola I'd go to a radio broadcast with her on Friday afternoon. She wrote a letter or something, I don't know. Then we'll leave Friday night.
Friday night. Then you'll be free of it, Stan, on Friday night.
I bet at 55, Mr. Johnson, you'll put to shame any squirt at 25. Well, there they are, ladies and gentlemen, the Johnsons. This month's ideal couple on our program, Happy Though Married. Mrs. Johnson's letter, awarded first place by our judges, is going to win for this ideal couple the following wonderful prizes. First, a set of beautifully matched wardrobe trunks. Inside, you'll find clothing for both of you to last for years. We secretly got your measurements. Besides clothing, you'll find jewelry, shaving accessories, toiletries, sewing kit, even shoelaces. everything needed to clothe and keep a man and wife in comfort for a long, long while. Because in just 30 seconds, you will be whisked from the studio and taken by special limousine to the airport. A plane is waiting there to fly you to the coast, where you'll board one of the largest luxury liners afloat to start a 6-month fully paid cruise and tour of the continent of Europe. All this to start right now because you are our ideal couple. On your way and bon voyage!
Ideal Couple, starring Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. In a moment, Mr. and Mrs. Lewis will tell you about next week's play.
Tom Dixon's Venture into Writing, An Ideal Couple, with Tom playing the program master of ceremonies.
And Paul Frees grew young and then old with it.
Next week, we're going to do a play about the same kind of people, same age and circumstances, and also with a child, and by showing the other side of the coin, see what else can be done with three lives.
The story was written by Shirley Gordon, and she calls it A Day to Remember. It's fine listening for this time of the year.
Until next week, then, thank you for listening. Good night.
Good night.
On Stage, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from June 18, 1953. The couple considered to be radio royalty during the time in that prestige show, which was written by a mysterious author, Tom Dixon, who also performed in part of the broadcast. There are no other credits throughout old-time radio movies or radio to his name. You are listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, one of radio's great on-air experiments. The Columbia Workshop brings us the story He Should Have Stood in Elba, a CBS broadcast from April 12, 1942.
The Columbia Workshop presents
He Should Have Stood in Elba,
which is an original play for radio by Ralph Tollerant.
Polishing them shoes yet, Gun?
Almost, King.
Well, make it snappy. Can't go back to New York looking like a tramp. Look at this, $10, too. Man. You think at least they could sweat out something with a drape for me? My clothes always used to have class.
Gee, King, you've been here 11 years. I bet it's going to feel good to be on the outside. What are you going to do, King?
Do? What do you think? Get the boys together and let them know I'm taking over again.
The boys? What? Most of your mob's in stir.
Yeah, there's still some left.
How do you know they let you just walked in?
Let me? Why, you've seen these mugs here in Atlanta crawl if I give them a dirty look, haven't you?
Yeah.
You think the others would stand in my way?
Yeah, I get you, King. They fall in line. I rapped, huh?
Yeah. Did you ever hear of Napoleon?
Sure, who ain't?
I've been reading up on him in the library here. Him and we get a lot in common. They put him away, too, but he didn't stay put. He took it on the lam, showed up in France, and his boys come right back to him.
Look, King, as I hear it, Napoleon didn't end up so good. How do you know you won't end up like he did?
Because I'm smart, see? They licked Napoleon at his own game. Me, they got on a tax rap. Wasn't no bull that put me away. It was a certified public accountant.
What about this dame that was so crazy about you? You think she'll still be waiting for you?
You mean Josephine?
Josephine? That wasn't the name you gave me before.
No, you sap. Her name's Myrtle.
Oh.
Josephine was Napoleon's mouth. Only Myrtle is crazier about me.
How can you be so sure, King? She ain't wrote to you in 5 years.
No, she never was much for writing. But she's just waiting for the day I get out. I ain't worried about that any more than I am about my boys coming back to me.
York. Nice time you got here, bud.
Yeah, we like it.
I don't suppose you know who I am.
No, can't say I don't.
Well, you can go home and tell your kids you drove King Zilmer today.
Huh?
King Zilmer.
Oh.
You mean to tell me you never heard of King Zilmer?
Well, I'm an up these days. I can't hardly keep track of
them. What makes you think I'm from the government?
Just a guess. You're too old to be the new Dodger rookie from Montreal. Yeah, this is it. Joe's Bar and Grill. For 65 cents.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're near the station again. Look for me. I'll remember you the next time, Mr. Gilbert.
Dilma, Max. Dilma.
Like that.
I never heard of Major Dilma. Getcha? What'll it be? Hello, Joe. It's the King. Yeah, King Zilmer in the flesh. Happy days are here again.
When'd you get out, King?
Came here straight from the station. Call up the boys and get them up here, Joe. I'm taking off.
Not so loud.
Huh? Well, what's the matter? Ain't you got the car squared? Ain't everything in shape for me to take over?
What are you taking over, King?
The west side, naturally. Joe, it's going to be like old times. We'll hold meetings on the second floor here, like in the old days.
No, King, it's no dice.
What do you mean?
You gotta count me out. The second floor's a restaurant. Any monkey shines and I lose my liquor license.
Liquor license?
Yeah.
Who's giving out licenses on my territory? I'll rub them out.
Yeah? Well, you can go ahead up to Albany and rub out the Alcoholic Beverages Commission, then. Alky's legal, King. You ain't licensing nobody these days.
You mean that repeal thing is really waking out?
Sure. Did you hear about it?
Sure, I heard about it. It don't seem right. Well, if Alky's out, what other angles you got, Joe?
Angles? Listen, King, I'm running a restaurant now. Respectable, see? I can't take no chances of losing my license.
Look, Joe, what kind of talk is this? You sound like you're throwing me out.
No, I ain't throwing you out, King. It's just that you can't stay here. It ain't safe for me.
That ain't no way to talk to the King, Joe. Why, if it was anybody else, I'd...
Yeah. Huh?
Well, suit yourself, Joe. I'll just have to cut you out of the sugar. You'll be begging to join up with me one of these days. But I ain't so sure I'll take you then.
Well, are you going, King?
Okay. At least you can let me know where Myrtle and the boys are.
I ain't seen Myrtle in 5 years. White is the only one of the boys I ever see. He lives up on 54th Street, 629 West. Now scram, will you?
Hello, Whitey.
King, what are you doing here?
I'm back, Whitey.
Yeah, I see, but what are you doing here?
I'm taking over. I want you in with me. Let me come in and I'll get down to brass tacks right away.
Oh, no, King.
No. I can't come in?
Yeah, you can come in.
Who is it, Whitey? Whitey, who's there?
Nobody you know, Madge.
Madge?
That's my wife. We've been married 4 years.
Well, ain't much of a jump you got here. Not like the old days when you and Slats Maroney shared that apartment at the Dick's Wedding. That was class.
King, what do you want with me?
I got good news for you, Whitey. I've decided to make you my lieutenant. I didn't mind for a long time.
Whitey? Oh. Time you went to bed.
Yeah, a little while, Madge. Now, listen, King.
Now, don't thank me. You deserve it.
Them days are over.
Over? Not for the King. All I need is an angle. Why, you'll have an apartment twice the size of the one at the Dick's Worthy. More women.
What do you want to do? Put me in a doghouse?
Listen, you know me. I got brains. All you got to do is stick with me, Whitey.
Well, I ain't sticking with you, King. I'm a married man. I got a wife and
well,
a kid.
That's all right with me, Whitey. I think every mob should have a couple of family men, you know, sort of a settling influence.
Well, I got a job, King, and I ain't going to give it up.
I always figured you for a smart guy, Whitey. Well, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll make Spike Harris my lieutenant.
Oh, Spike Harris, huh?
Sure, he was begging me for the chance this afternoon, but I says no. Whitey Case is the man, but...
Spike Harris, huh? Hey, you go ahead and make him your lieutenant. You know, he's a trigger man now.
Yeah, I heard about that. Spike won't hold out nothing on me. He'll swing his whole mob over to me if I give him the word. Say, what was the name of the mob he's in again?
The United States Army. Spike was number 158 in the draft.
Mr. Martin, we'll see you now, Mr. Dilmer. Right this way.
Well, Slugger, I mean Mr. Martin.
King Dilmer, of all people.
Well,
when did you get into town?
Day before yesterday. Found you in the phone book.
Well, I'm glad you dropped in. Sit down.
Ah, thanks.
Have a cigar.
Thanks.
Here, let me light it for you. There we are. Well, now tell me, what's on your mind, King?
Well, nothing in particular. You've done pretty well for yourself, haven't you?
Well, yes, I gotta admit I have. Chairman of the Executive Council of the Clam Diggers and Oyster Shellers Union, local number 607. Getting plenty of publicity, too. Why, last week I got 2 full columns by Westbrook Pegler. He likes me.
Yeah?
Yeah. But what about you? From all reports I got, you sure had the boys in the pen a-heelin'.
Ah, you know me, but... Now, let's get on to business.
Yes.
I was just thinking.
Uh-huh.
I've been thinking...
Yeah?
Well, now that I'm back, I'm taking over. And, well, I'd like to have you back in with me.
Me? Back with you?
Sure thing. Nobody can say the king don't know a good man. With you as my lieutenant, we'll go places again on the west side.
Me, your lieutenant, eh? What for?
I'll let you in on a little scheme of mine. I'm thinking of pushing my territory all the way up to 225th Street. And that's where you fit in. You're in complete charge from 145th up. How's that strike?
No, King, I couldn't.
Huh?
What about the responsibility I got here? I gotta take care of these union guys.
Oh, don't let it worry you. I'll take over here, too.
Oh, you will? Why should I let you take over here?
Well... I got what it takes to put this thing across, see?
No. Listen, King, stop knocking yourself out. I'm not letting you take over here. But I'll tell you what I can do for you.
What?
I'll let you have a card in the Clam Diggers and Oyster Shellers Union Local 607, and I'll waive the $200 membership fee. Then all you have to pay is the usual $2 a week plus assessment.
I wouldn't be interested.
I didn't think you would. Well, King, it's been nice seeing you. The girl will show you the way out.
Listen, Martin, don't give me no brush off. I come in here to give you a big chance. If you're too bullheaded to see it...
Well...
Say, what's gotten into all you guys? I come back here for 11 years and I'm left all alone.
King, any other time I'd be glad to buy you a bucket of beer to ball into, but I gotta hurry. I gotta make a speech on organizing the Oyster for National Defense. Hand me my coat, will you, King?
So, the whole bunch of you gone short. Well, not me. I'll show you all up. I'll get me a new mob.
What are you going to do, put an ad in the Times? King, the old days is gone.
Not for the king, they ain't. And I kind of like your setup here, Slugger. I think you're going to have to play ball with me.
What do you mean?
Just this. You got yourself an office here at 57th and Amsterdam. You're on the west side, my territory, get it?
King, I hate to see you wreck a perfectly good hat talking through it. Now, you get out of here before I get mad.
In the park at night.
Say, what kind of a town is this getting to be? Guy can't even get the air without some flatfoot.
No, it's none of your lip, I'll be taken. After all, it's you I'm protecting as well as the next fella. Move along now like a good citizen. Good night.
Hey, you.
Me?
Yeah, you. Put up your hand.
Huh?
This is a stick-up.
Nah, and we both got guns. Reach. Hiya.
You ain't gonna get much here, boys.
We'll take what you got.
Listen, you kids, you're on the wrong track.
That's none of your business.
Why don't you kids get wise to yourself? This ain't the business for you.
What do you mean?
This ain't no racket for smart punks.
Hey, who are you calling a punk?
Look, if you'll listen for a minute, boys, I got a little proposition I think you'll like.
What is this? Come on, Steve. Let's get the dough and scram.
Hold on, Blackie. Let's see what he has to say. But keep those mitts up, mister. We ain't taking no chances.
You boys know who I am. Did you ever hear of King Dilmer?
King Dilmer? Are you the King Dilmer of the old West Side Wharf Rat?
Nobody else but. Now, can I take my hands down?
Sure.
Hey, what's the idea of telling him he could put his hands down?
Keep quiet, Blackie. This is King Dilmer.
Yeah, I got ears, too. But who's he?
Hey, my cousin used to be in your mob, King. Do you remember him? Mangler Flugenthal?
Name don't sound very familiar.
Tell the truth, he wasn't with you long. You found him out at the Jersey City Dustin for more training.
That's so. How's he doing?
Oh, swell. He's a trustee now. I left the right of my met you.
Look, boys, do you mind putting them guns away? They make me nervous, and that copper might come back here any minute now.
Look here, Steve, what kind of a stick-up is this anyway?
It ain't good. You kids ain't had much experience, have you?
No, we ain't. This is our first job.
Now, you boys don't know how lucky you are to meet up with the king. How'd you boys like to work for me? Big league stuff. None of these nickel-and-dime stick-ups and less chance of winding up in jail if you pay your taxes.
Sounds good to me. What do you say, Blackie?
I don't know. I ain't got no head for business.
I'll take care of the business angle. All you kids have to be is tough. Are you kids tough?
Tough? I'll say we're tough. Down on my block, they hop when I open my mouth.
Hop? Listen, they don't come any tougher than me. Hey, Steve, you remember last month when I hit that...
Sure, but that don't compare to the time when
Okay, you kids are tough. I think you're going to do all right. Look, that cop's coming back. Here's our first setup. Meet me tomorrow. Our first job is going to be a big...
Can I help you, gentlemen?
No, sister, I don't think I need any help right now. We'll go right in ourselves. Come on in, boys. In here.
Wait, you can't go in to see Mr. Martin without an appointment.
That's what you think, sister.
Hello, Martin. Pleasure to be seeing you again.
King, what are you doing here? Who are those?
These boys are my torpedoes, Martin. All right, men, trot out the artillery.
Say, what is it? What are you up to, King?
I tried to tell you yesterday, Martin, but you wouldn't listen. You're in my territory, Martin, and I'm taking over. Now, fold your hands on the desk, peaceful-like, and maybe we can have a little talk.
I don't think we have anything to talk about,
Martin,
King.
Martin, be smart. I gotta finish fast because I gotta go see about curing my boys. They got spasms. You know, twitchy trigger fingers.
Let's hear what you got to say.
From now on, I'm in charge here. First off, I'm gonna need dough. I want it to start coming in right away.
Where do you expect me to get it?
Every oyster or clam dug by a union man, I get a cent, beginning now.
That's impossible.
Not to me, it ain't. Here's another thing. Every restaurant that says oysters or clams pays me $10 a month or else.
King, you can't do that.
What do you mean I can't? The trouble with you, Martin, is that you ain't got no imagination. And there's one more thing. Any pearls that anybody finds belongs to me. I'll have a new necklace for Josephine twice a week.
Josephine?
I'm talking about Myrtle, my old ma.
Well, what's she got to do with Josephine?
You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand. Let's get back to business. Now, Slugger, if you're ready, let's get our agreement down on paper. Blackie, push that buzzer on the side of his desk. Keep him covered.
Yes, Mr. Martin.
Never mind him. I'm your new boss here.
Done.
They ain't knitting needles. You're looking at a couple of tough customers. Right, Blackie?
Right, Steve.
Steve. Say, aren't you Steve Roberts who lives on Avenue A?
So what if I am? So what?
So you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Why, the whole neighborhood knows about you and how you're no good. And now you're a gunman. Or you'll break your mother's heart if she ever finds out.
Keep quiet, girlie. Little mouth should be seen and shut up.
Say, if you wasn't a woman, I'd
sure
hook you,
you
right...
Sure you would. You're bad and you're a coward. Always picking on somebody littler than you are. Oh, I know all about you, all right.
What are you giving me? This ain't a hold-up. This is business. Ask him.
I don't care what it is. Just wait till your pa hears about this.
You wouldn't tell him, would you?
I don't know why not.
Hey, what's going on here?
Gosh, I ain't doing you nothing.
And who are you?
You mean me?
That's
Blackie.
Well, I don't know who you are, but you both ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I wasn't so crazy about this idea in a fight, Pa. Look, you wouldn't tell my pa, would you?
Well, just hand over those guns and get out of here, and I won't say anything more.
Hey, wait a minute.
Here's my gun. Here's mine. Don't tell my pa, will you?
Hey, hold on here.
As for you, you fagin. Oh, dear, I'm so upset I'll never finish typing those letters. Now, you kids, get out of here. I'm putting these guns in my desk, Mr. Morgan.
Well, Dilmer, what happened to your ma?
Well, now, listen, Scargara. I was only kidding, honest.
Sure, you was only kidding.
I just thought, you know, if I put on a big act, you might remember the good old days and join up with me.
If you was only kidding, Dilmer, I can't understand your joke. And what's more, I don't like them.
It ain't like the old days. Nobody understands me anymore. If I could only locate Myrtle would understand. There's a dame that's anxious.
Myrtle? Why, Myrtle's living in the Hotel Vincent on East 58th Street.
That Richard Junk?
Yeah.
Say, where would she be getting the dough to live there?
Rest your mind easy, King. Myrtle made a wad of dough with a book she wrote a couple of years back.
Myrtle wrote a book or read a book?
Wrote one. And it was made quite a fuss over, too.
But how could she?
She did. And now, King, if you want to talk literary, hop over to the public library. But if you ever show your face in here again, you're going out in a wicker basket. You understand?
Guess there ain't no such thing as loyalty these days. Napoleon knew he was going to walk into something like this when he come back to take over. He would have stood in Alba. The king.
Why, so it is. Well, this is a surprise.
Not all you can say. It's a surprise. It's been 11 years, Michael. Ain't you glad to see me?
Well, of course, King. I'm always glad to see my old friends.
Always glad to see your old friends?
Well, sure. Won't you sit down?
Michael, why didn't you write me since 5 years ago?
Well, King, I was busy. I was writing a book.
Yeah, I heard.
It sold 100,000 copies. That was before they made it a movie. Here's a copy, King. I'll autograph it for you.
Well, thanks. I was a gangster's mob. Michael, is this about us?
Well, yeah. Would you like to read the reviews?
No. Listen, Michael, angry. Didn't you say...
What, King?
Well, I didn't expect anything like this. You said you'd wait.
Well, that's right. I did.
Well?
King, remember when I told you was the greatest guy in the world?
My... Sure, Michael. Gosh, for a minute I was afraid you'd forgot.
Well, I was writing this book.
Oh, of course, Michael. I don't mind you not writing letters.
You know, King, when you start writing, you begin thinking.
Sure, I know, honey.
Well, when I was writing about you, I did a lot of thinking about you.
As long as you didn't forget me, baby.
And when I got to page 227, King, it came to me like a flash.
Yeah? What then?
That I was wrong when I told you was the greatest guy in the world. Between us, King, you really ain't so much.
Michael!
Now, don't get me wrong, King. There was times like the day when they took you away, when you shook. All right, you got me now. But when I'm out, I'll show you I'm still the king. Oh, that was real noble.
You still remember that day, Michael?
I should say I do. It was the best chapter in my book.
Well, I'm glad there's something.
Oh, and that ain't all. Angel Face Joe told me when he got out 2 years ago that you had the whole place organized like a clock. It ain't everybody that could do that.
Well, if I say so myself, I had it plenty under control.
Why don't you tell me how you did it, King? I'd like to hear all about it.
You mean you're still interested in something about me?
Well, sure I'm still interested in you. By the way, King, did I tell you I'm writing another book?
Hello, Dilmer. What's on your mind?
Oh, just checking up on how I stand.
How you stand?
Yeah. I want to know what the federal attorney got on me that'll put me back in the brig at Atlanta.
Why, nothing.
Don't tell me you got nothing on me. Are you sure?
Positive. I have your file right here. I must say, this is the most peculiar...
Could you look it up again? You know, I've been consorting with known criminals.
Hmm? Well, that's no concern of mine. You've served your term. You're not on parole. You're free to associate with whomever you please.
Oh. Then you've got nothing on me.
No, we've got nothing on you.
Say, you were the guy who put me away 11 years ago, weren't you?
Yes, I prosecuted the case.
You remember what I was sent up for, don't you?
Well, of course. Non-payment of taxes.
Taxes are going to be higher next year than they were 11 years ago, ain't they?
They certainly are.
Well, I don't intend to pay my taxes next year either. You want to make something out of it?
Just heard the Columbia Workshops production of
He Should Have Stood in Elba,
written by Ralph Tolleris as part of his work at the NYU Radio Workshop. Special music was composed and conducted by Van Cleve. Joe Gratz directed. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present, in honor of the opening of America's greatest annual sports festival, the baseball season, an original radio play by Louis J. Hazen entitled Play Ball.
Hitler's lies are Nazi spies on the home front. Destroy them.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Columbia Workshop on Tuned To Yesterday first heard live on April 12, 1942 on CBS. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.